is the deal. Over the last couple of years, the world has
Good morning, Honorable Members. Welcome to our meeting. And I understand that Honorable Members have also come from a very intensive period of during the recess period. And I just hope that members are well rested today. I think in terms of attendance, we have Honorable Dodoro, Honorable Nkosi, Honorable Nicolatis, Honorable Matsumai, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Zandamela. Welcome on members. We do have an apology from the Deputy Minister who is unable to be with us as because of the fact that there's a cabinet committee that he is currently in. He did call to apologize, but he did also indicate that if he would be available in between, he would join us. Members, in terms of today's agenda, we expected to get the briefing by the Ministry for Justice and Correction Services on the criminal proceeding and involved. In addition to that, we will be considering the report on the removal of office of Ms. J.F. Van Stalkwyk. And we will also consider and adopt two sets of needs. Just in terms of the briefing by the Minister for Justice and Correctional Services on the Criminal Procedures Amendment Bill, this bill was passed by the National Assembly with amendments, and the amended bill is now before us, the Select Committee on Security and Justice, to be considered
recording in progress
in terms of Section 75 of the Constitution. And the bill amends Section 154, Subsection 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act, which had been declared constitutionally invalid on the 4th of December 2019 in the Constitutional Court matter of the Center for Child Law and Others versus Media 24 Limited and others. The Concord held that Section 154, Subsection 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act was inconsistent with the Constitution to the extent that it failed to firstly protect the identity of child victims in criminal proceedings, and secondly, it does not provide ongoing protection to children beyond the age of 18 years. And Parliament was given 24 months to enact legislation to remedy this constitutional defect, and the 24-month period actually ends by the 4th of December 2021. That being said, our members, let me hand over then to the department to take us through the presentation on the amendment bill. Kalei, I think Ms. Kalei, you on the platform, I would imagine that you would take the lead in that process. Ms. Kalei?
Good morning, Madam Chair and Honourable Members. I'm joined in the boardroom by Mr. Tsietsi Sibelamicha, who's our new Chief Director Legislation, who joined us from Home Affairs on the 1st of November. And he will be appearing before this committee on a regular basis going forward, and we welcome him to the department. And our presentation today, Madam Chair, will be done by Mr. Dingaan Mangena. And we will share the screen now, and Dingaan will take us through the presentation. If that's okay, Chair, may we start the presentation?
Please go ahead.
Good morning, Honorable Members. Good morning, Chairperson. I trust that I'm audible enough. for you on the other side. This morning, we're going to be talking about the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill. As you have correctly introduced it to the House, I'll, without the waste of time, go into the bill itself and what it covers. First and foremost, we'll talk about the background to this bill. And this bill, the Criminal Procedure Amendment Bill, aims to amend Section 154 of the Criminal Procedure Act in order to give effect to a judgment of the Constitutional Court in the Center for Child Law and Others versus Media 24 Limited and others, which was heard in 2019. The Constitutional Court confirmed the decision of the Supreme Court of Appeal and declared Section 154, subsection 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act constitutionally invalid for failing to protect the identity of child victims of crime in criminal proceedings and for failing to provide ongoing protection of anonymity to child accused witnesses and victims. The declaration of constitutional invalidity was suspended for 24 months to afford Parliament an opportunity to remedy the defect giving rise to constitutional invalidity. And this period comes to an end and on the 4th of December this year. In slide number three, the introductory part deals with the fact that Section 154, subsection 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act afford anonymity protection for child accused or witnesses in criminal proceedings. This protection prevents the publication of any information that discloses the identity of child accused and witnesses. This protection may only be withheld on the authority of a court if it finds doing so equitable and just. Child victims are not covered by this protection. Thus, the provision does not extend protection into adulthood for child accused, witnesses, and victims. In the Center for Child Law judgment, the court found that Section 154, subsection 3 to be unconstitutional for arbitrarily differentiating between classes of children and thus giving rise to a breach of the right to equality. The court stated that by excluding child victims from its protection, the section limits the right to equality, privacy, dignity, and the principle of the best interests of the child. Now, we're going to deal with the contents of the bill, and then we'll start with clause one. And in clause one, we say, clause one of the bill, we say that the bill seeks to amend Section 154, subsection 3 of the Criminal Procedure Act in order to prohibit the publication of any information which reveals or may reveal the identity of an accused or a witness or of a person against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, who is or was under the age of 18 years at the time of the alleged commission of the offense, unless the publication of such information is authorized by a court under subsection 3, capital B. Subsection 3, capital B provides for the judicial officer or the presiding judge to authorize the publication of any information relating to the proceedings as he or she may deem fit, if such publication would, in his or her opinion, be just and equitable and in the interest of any particular person. Clause 1B departs from the general rule on anonymity and permits a police official or any other person authorized by the National Commissioner of the South African Police Service to, in certain circumstances, publish information which may reveal the identity of an accused, a witness, a person who is under the age of 18 years, against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, or a person whose whereabouts need to be located. Circumstances listed in subsection 3, capital A, must be present in respect of every category of children in criminal proceedings before the information revealing the identity of a child may be published by the South African Police Service or an authorized person. The Constitutional Court also held that an accused, witness, or person against whom an offense has allegedly been committed who is under the age of 18 years at the time of the commission of the offense does not forfeit the protection of anonymity afforded by Section 154 upon attainment of age of 18 years. The amendment to section 154 provides that the protection in subsection 3 is ongoing unless the court authorizes the publication of the information of a child. A person may consent to the publication of their identity after reaching 18 years of age, or if consent is refused, their identity may be published at the discretion of a competent court. Consent is not the sole criteria for the publication of such information. Proposed section 3, capital B, requires the court to be satisfied that the accused, witness, or a person against whom an offense has been committed understand the nature and effect of the order authorizing publication of their identity. Proposed new subsection 3, capital B, also provides factors which must be considered by the court in determining whether the identity of such an accused, witness, or a person against whom an offense has allegedly been committed, who is or was under the age of 18 years at the time of the commission of an offense, may be revealed. These factors include nature of charges, age of the person involved, interests of the public, the hardship a person may suffer as a result of publication, and so on and so on. A court may, if it deems it necessary in the interests of justice, hold an inquiry to determine whether an order for publication of information which may reveal the identity of a person should be granted. Such an inquiry must take place behind closed doors. The disclosure of information relating to such an inquiry is prohibited unless the court permits such disclosure. The verdict of the inquiry must be delivered in an open court subject to the limits set by the court. The public was invited to present their comments and submissions relating to the bill, which was posted on the department and the parliament's websites. The Center for Child Law presented its submissions on the bill to the August 24th, 2021. And in those public hearings, the Center for Child Law made submission to the effect that the proposed amendment to Section 144 of the Criminal Procedure Act does not change the wording insofar as publication of the identity of the child is concerned. Its concern is that the section might be construed by the public and some members of the media to refer only to traditional forms of media publications. And in order to provide clarity, minimize misinterpretation, and to avoid violations of rights of vulnerable groups that may arise, the commentator proposed that in addition to the prohibition relating to traditional form of media publications, such prohibition be extended to include social media and other online platforms. The proposal was accepted, and the words "including on any social media or electronic platform" in inverted close quotes be included in the proposed amendment of subsection 3, paragraph A by the portfolio committee. They further made a submission that an accused or a witness or a person contemplated in subsection 3, paragraph A, subparagraph 3, should be able to publish or reveal their own identity without needing a court order, except if there had been a court order authorizing their protection. Otherwise, the process will be cumbersome to discharge. The portfolio committee approved the inclusion of the words open quotes and where the court has granted an order that extends into adulthood close quotes after the wait 18 years in section 154 subsection 3 capital B paragraph A to give effect to the proposal. So that's in a nutshell what the bill is all about, and we've come to the end of our presentation in this regard, and then I'll hand back to you, Chairperson, for further handling of the matter going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mangena, for the presentation. And indeed, I remember these amendments give effect to the Constitutional Court ruling in that There's extension for protection to child victims, and also there's a need for ongoing protection for child participants into adulthood. But honors, I'm going to open the platform for yourselves if you have any questions for clarity that you would like to ask from the department in terms of the presentation. If you can give me an indication by raising your hands. I see Deputy Minister, you've joined us. Welcome. You've raised your hands. Perhaps you want to say a few words, Deputy Minister?
No, Chair, I just wanted to say that I've managed to join. I was in another meeting, but luckily that meeting has finished. So I am here. Yeah, just wanted to greet you and the committee. Thanks.
Thank you very much, and welcome, Deputy Minister. Our members? If there are no questions, it would appear that the presentation is relatively clear. I just want to maybe get clarity on a certain matter, especially in relation to the amendment that was made by the portfolio committee. That's on your slide 14, where the portfolio committee included the words and where the court has granted an order that extends into adulthood after the words 18 years. That's in section 154, subsection 3BA. Just clarity whether the inclusion of that phrasing, would it still require, and if you read the section, would it still require that a court application must be brought, that there's still the requirement to bring a court application. And if you can maybe also clarify whether section 154 subsection 3BA should be further amended to make it clearer that a court application would not be required in instances where the victim wants to publish his or her own identity upon reaching adulthood. My second issue is more around accessibility and court processes, where the bill does provide for the High Court to be approached for authorization of consent, which may have costs and accessibility implications for an ordinary person, especially those in rural communities residing far from the High Courts. Just what will be the nature of this application, and has consideration been given to making this an administrative process as opposed to a fully fledged matter to be heard by the? I think those are just my two issues of clarity. Honorable Dodo, I see your hand is up. I did not see that.
Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Mine is not much, it's just a clarity. In respect of the judgment of the Concord, after the declaration of invalidity, Parliament was given 24 months to conclude the process, as I understand. When was this judgment passed? That's my question. And when will the 24-month expiry come to effect? Thank you. Otherwise, I follow what is happening, and I'm quite satisfied with the submission that we have received this morning. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable
Barton. Honourable Chair. Yeah, just on the issue of
But we can't hear you.
Sorry, Chair. I was muted. Now, what I'm saying, Chair, on slide 3, bullet 3, just in that clause, I say that I just need clarity on the issue that I said the child is not protected. I'm not sure did I hear or what the presenter was saying. Just give clarity on that issue. The slide there, I just want, if you can just go back to slide 3, bullet 3.
Thank you, members. I think if those are the questions, let me then hand over back to the department just to provide clarity on those issues.
Chair, if the officials can answer, I'll come in at the end if necessary.
Okay. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister and Honourable Chair. I'll start with the concerns that were raised by Chairperson. Under these circumstances. And the answer to that question is that the court application won't be required in the sense that we're trying to make the process as user-friendly as is possible. Because now if we were going to be rigid and require child victims or accused or witnesses to all the time approach the court to make their identity known, the process will be cumbersome, difficult to really use. The process won't be user-friendly, and as a result, will be frustrating to really adhere to. So in a nutshell, the application won't be required. It will only be required in instances where the court has actually made an order or issued an order that prohibits such publication. And on that score, it's only then that one will be required to approach the court to actually try to make an application for such an identity to be revealed. The second concern Honorable Chair raised was in connection with the accessibility to the high courts. Yes, it's a concern that is valid, but in this instance, we need to be alert to the reality that the High Court is the moral custodian of all child minors. And this matter deals with mainly status issues and the interest of the children. And any lower court would be really not, would not be the real platform for such a court, for lower courts to actually handle matters pertaining to the children's issues going forward. As to the issue of the cost implications, that can still be debated or discussed further. But the thrust of the approach is that the high courts are the moral guardians of all the children in the country. And then there was another question from Honorable Member, I forgot his surname, that when was the judgment passed? And the answer to that is that the judgment was passed in 2019. And the follow-up to that is when will the expiry of the time period within which to remedy the invalidity, you know, come to an end? And the answer to that is the 4th of December in 2021. In other words, in few days time, the 24 months would, you know, come to an end. And the Honorable Member raised a further clarity seeking question, which is highlighted in bullet three, wherein bullet three says that child victims are not covered by this protection. To the Honorable Member, what I wish to bring to her attention is the fact that this is the nub of what the bill is all about. Initially, when you read the bill in its current form right now, you'd notice that only child accused and child witnesses are catered for in that provision. And then now catered in that provision to the exclusion of the child victims. And it's on that basis that we say child victims are not covered in this protection. And it simply means that children in this case are not treated equally, which means that it flouts Section 9, Subsection 3 of the Constitution, wherein the issue of equality is not adhered to, hence the constitutional invalidity. So this bill seeks to remedy that situation to say, when you talk about children, it must be children from all, you know, categories, be it the accused child, be it the child witness, be it, you know, the child victim, and so forth and so forth, which is currently not the case, hence the constitutional invalidity. So that bullet simply highlights the nub of what this bill is all about. So that's what I can say the bullet is all about, unless if Ms. Pillay wants to add something, or Chief Director would like to add something, or they are happy with the submission. Over to you, Honorable Chairperson. Or to the Deputy Minister, I beg your pardon.
Thanks very much, Chair. Over to you.
Okay, no, thank you very much for providing that clarity, Mr. Mangena. I don't see any hand of members in terms of any follow-ups. But then again, I mean, we're still going to continue engaging yourself on this bill. Let me thank you very much, Deputy Minister and the department, but also indicate that we took advantage of the recess period as well, and we tried to advertise the bill then so that we could try and keep in line with the Constitutional Court deadline. So we have advertised the bill for public comment from the 14th of October to the 12th of November. The deadline, the cutoff time is this Friday, which is the 12th of November. And in our next meeting, then Deputy Minister, we would then expect the department to also provide us with their responses to comments that we've received on the bill. And that would be next week, Wednesday, the 17th of November, 2021. With that being said, thank you very much, Deputy Minister, and the team from the department for the presentation, as well as for your responses on the clarity-seeking questions. Honourable members, we're going to now move on to the next point on the agenda, which is the consideration and adoption of the report on the removal from office of Ms. J.F. Van Schalkwyk, the Chief Magistrate, Sub-Cluster Head, Kempton Park, Johannesburg, in terms of Section 13, Subsection 4B of the Magistrates Act 1993, Act 90 of 1993. And as a committee, we met on the 8th of September to receive a briefing on the matter. And in that meeting, we were informed that we had also received a letter from Ms. Van Schalkwyk's attorney informing the committee of a review proceedings and a request for the committee to stay its decision pending the outcome of the review proceedings. However, the parliamentary legal opinion was also circulated to members and it provided guidance on Parliament's role in relation to the matter before the committee. And the committee, after considering the information presented in the last meeting, also indicated their support for the removal from office of Ms. Van Schalkwyk. On members, we've provided you with the copy of the report. I'm going to open it up to yourself just to give an indication whether you have any additions and or amendments that you would like to make to the report. If you can please give me an indication whether you have anything to add. If there's no indication, then I would assume that you are happy with the report. And in terms of our recommendation to the National Council of Provinces, our recommendation is that we do not restore Mrs. J.F. Van Schalkwyk to the office of magistrate. I'm going to then put it to members to move for the adoption of the report.
Honorable Chair, I don't know what's wrong with my video. Yeah, I'm going to move for the adoption of the report. It seems there's something wrong with my video.
Thank you
Chair,
very much.
Can you hear me?
We can hear you, Honorable Bartlett.
Okay.
And we
okay.
can see you.
Okay, but I can't see myself.
No, okay. Is there any second for the report? Honorable Mkosi? Honorable Mkosi, can you please unmute?
Thank Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I support Honorable Bartlett for the adoption of the report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are there any objections and or abstentions? Okay, if none, then the report is duly adopted. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Our members will now move on to the next agenda item, which is the adoption of minutes. There were two sets of minutes that were sent out to members, and they were dated the 1st of September and the 8th of September, respectively.
Sorry, can I and the departmental officials be excused, please?
No, you can excuse yourself. Thank you very much.
Thanks then, sure. Bye-bye.
Thank you, I thought you would. Yeah, but anyway, thank you very much.
We stay until the chair recognizes that we can.
Oh, I release you. May you release. Again, members, in terms of the first set of minutes dated the 5th of September 2021, we dealt with the oversight report on our committee oversight visit to KwaZulu-Natal, and we also considered and adopted a number of minutes in that meeting. And I think in terms of attendance, we received an apology from Honorable Dango, and Honorable Tetwan and Ngwezi were not present. That being said, on members, do we have any addition or amendment that you would like to make to those minutes? If you do not have any, if I can get a mover for the adoption. I see, Honourable Nkosi, your hand is up. Is that an old hand?
Chair, this is an old hand, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, honourable members, if you have if you're okay with minutes, if you can get a mover for the adoption of the minutes.
I move, honourable chair.
Thank you very much.
The chairperson.
Okay. I move for adoption of the report.
Honourable Moy Motsema. Honourable Motsema, your hand is up.
I just want to support it, Chairperson.
Okay, I don't know, my seconds. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. Members, the last set of minutes is dated the 8th of September 2021. Okay. In this meeting, this is the meeting where we received the briefing by the Magistrates Commission on the removal of office of Ms. J.F. von Skalkwyk, the Chief Magistrate. So the minutes, I think in terms of attendance, again, we received an apology from Honorable Dango, and Honorable Wizzy was not present in that meeting. If members have any additions and or amendments they'd like to make to the minutes, and if not, and if members want to go ahead and adopt, if I can get a mover for the adoption of minutes. Zero Motsamai, your hand is still up. I suppose it's a old hand. Members, can you get a mover for the adoption of the minutes?
I move, Honorable Chair.
Present.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Honorable Nkosi?
I second, Chair.
Okay. No, thank you very much, on members. The minutes are also duly adopted. Let me also take this opportunity to thank you for your attendance to this meeting and for your participation. I also understand that some members have other responsibilities in the various provinces that you're in. So, okay. Okay, let me thank you very much, all members. This meeting has ended.
Thanks, Chair.
Recording.